time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Man, couldn't wait for Monday morning to get here.
Couldn't wait. It's the 26th of June, 2017. As I always say, Lord's not making another one. I feel bad for people to have to hang around me when I don't have my show in the morning, because I got to vent on somebody. And, you know, I've said to you a number of times, I don't do small talk well. Luckily, my son rescued me last night, took me out on the golf course for a few hours, let me beat the golf ball around, so I don't have to beat up on my family and my wife and the dog and everything like that. And I don't beat up on them. It's just that, you know, there's just an intensity about, there's just an intensity about what's going on in the world. And I just think I can't believe people can't see it. And everywhere I go, I want to talk about that. And it's hard. So sometimes it's best just to stay home, put a pillow over my head and lay on the couch. I didn't do that. I had a very active weekend, actually. Had the chance to drive down and watch our mutual buddy, many of you know, Jim Kraft, his daughter got married this weekend, and beautiful outdoor wedding. Michelle and I went down there and enjoyed the wedding. Jim set it up outside, an outside wedding, and beautiful up on a hill. My goodness, what a beautiful place to do it. And I had 2 hours and 15 minutes in my car with my wife, and we listened to Keith Green, testimony of Keith Green. I don't know if you guys know him. Sleep in the Dark. Sleep in the Light, I mean, and Ray LeBlanc had sent us a video on Keith Green. I may play that one for you if I get moving that way. But I was glad Monday morning came rolling around, because I just got so much stuff that I want to get out of me. I was talking before we went on the air. I wasn't able to get to church again yesterday, and I love the people that I attend church with, Pastor Bill and Jeff and all those guys, but. Sometimes, I'll be honest with you, sometimes church is frustrating for me. Very, very frustrating. You know, again, I guess it's the old coach in me. I look around and think, man, we ought to be playing better than this. Even when I go to church, I look around at even the old grandmas that are in there, think, man, we ought to be playing better than this. The idea of retirement and getting old and all that kind of stuff. No, there's no retirement. There's no getting old. Come on, man, let's move forward here. So, I'm happy to be back here in the saddle. Excited you would all join us. We got the 10-man queue up here today. Tonight I get the chance to go down and listen to Bill Federer down in St. Clairsville, Ohio. If anybody's within an hour of St. Clairsville, 2 hours of St. Clairsville, you've never heard Bill Federer, I'm telling you. Our buddy JR had him on his show on Saturday morning, and it was really, really powerful. And I would suggest, if you can, maybe JR can tell us where we would find that archive. That JR had Federer on for about an hour and a half, and it's just, I can't even tell you. You know what really upsets me? Of how little we know. How little we know, especially about our own history. How little we know about Bill Federer spoke a lot about Islam. How little we know about that. Oh, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. How little our pastors know about it. And how history is repeating itself, and we don't even see it. See, we don't even see it because we're sitting right in the middle of it. And it was kind of Bill Federer Unchained there with JR on Saturday, and it's worth it. Where would they find that archive, JR? If folks, if you want to hear something, I'm telling you, if you want to hear something, you set aside, go mow your grass, set aside whatever, 90 minutes, and listen to the last hour and a half, I think it was, Bill Federer. Where do they find that, JR?
NaturalFamilyFoundation.org. NaturalFamilyFoundation.org. Then go to the radio.
There's
a radio up above, and then it'll take you right to it.
Jared, maybe we can dig that link out and send that out to everybody to listen to. It was pretty amazing, wasn't it, JR? Didn't you just sit there and think, shake your head and say, oh, my goodness.
It's easy radio when you got Federer on. He's incredible.
My goodness. He is incredible. He's just incredible, and he connects all the dots. And so I get to introduce him tonight down in St. Clairsville, and so we'll be doing our show from on the road tomorrow. And looking forward to that. Cool. Anybody have anything for the good of the group? I got a good show today. I want to give you fair warning. This show is going to make a lot of you uncomfortable. Okay? Just going to tell you that right up front. It's going to make a lot of you uncomfortable. And if you don't want to be uncomfortable, then now would be a good time to this fair warning, right? The views and opinions of the host are necessarily the opinions of the staff and management of Past Assault Ministries. I'm speaking for Past Assault Ministries. So what you're going to hear today is what we believe, okay? Now, if you don't like it, when I was a young guy, if you don't like it, lump it. I just pray that you sit back and allow your eyes to be open. See, so much of what we know, we have been so programmed with. We're so programmed. And I was encouraged for many reasons, listening to Federer on Saturday. I think, oh, my goodness. My goodness. Come on. Wake up, church. Wake up to what's going on around us. Come out of your slumber. Come out of it. I don't know. I just don't know the opportunity of us being able to do that. So I'm going to dig into this. How am I going to do this here today? I got to do this just as a little lighthearted thing here before we get going. Here's the title of the show. I guess we don't have titles. I'm going to give you one. The title of the show is Embrace the Hate. Embrace the Hate. You know, hate is it's a natural emotion. And I don't know why we've made hate such a negative. I don't know. We're going to dig into some of this here this morning. Embrace the hate. That's why I wore my Truth Sounds Like Hate shirt today. Truth Sounds Like Hate. The end to it is to those who hate the truth. Right Wing Watch, I'm sure, is watching. They hate. They're full of hate. We're down at that homosexual parade. Those people are full of hate. Why do they get to use hate and we don't get to? Can somebody explain that one to me? And then Right Wing Watch pumps up on their website the other day that I said two things that I said, and I said both of them. One of them I've said at the end of a rant where I said, if we don't wake up, your children are going to be homosexual. I believe that, by the way. I'm going to double down on that. If the church doesn't wake up, that homosexual spirit's going to gobble up the grandchildren. Okay? Number one. And the second thing that I said that just, they can't believe that a Christian would endorse hate. Now, I'm not endorsing hate. Hate is not a sin, folks. It's not a sin. What we do with hate is a sin. You know, God hates. Oh, yeah, we're going to get into that here in a second. But before we do, Jared, I'm going to show you something that I hate. I love my children. I love my grandchildren. As I posted on the website the other day, or on Facebook, I think I put it, grandchildren are the cherry on top of the sundae that God gave us. And I ain't nothing like grandkids. And I'd do anything to protect my grandchildren. I hope you would feel the exact same way. But see, I'm not so worried about my grandchildren physically. I'm worried about them mentally, spiritually, emotionally. That's where they're going to destroy my grandchildren. And it's subtle. And because we don't hate things that we should hate, we sit passively by and allow crap to go on and we shouldn't let go on. Somebody sent me this. I'm just going to share this with you. Jared, play that second. I got two clips right at the beginning, Jared. One's the three-minute clip. I hate, folks. I wish you would join me in hating what they're doing to our children in school. I wish you'd join me. I hate it, man. I absolutely hate what they're doing. Not only to my kids, I hate what they're doing to other kids. I hate it. Are we allowed to do that? I think we're allowed to. This is kind of a tongue-in-cheek. This guy produces these videos. No, that's not the one, Jared. I'm sorry. It's a second one down, bud. It says 3 minutes. The one says right above Psalm 139. It's only 2 minutes. This guy produces and stars in these. I don't even know. This is on education and where we're heading. As sure as I'm sitting here, where we are heading 20 years from now. Go ahead and play that, Jared.
It's okay. We don't eat food anymore.
It's very offensive.
Yeah, we just have solid love.
It's 100% gluten-free, halal, kosher, dairy-free, biodynamic, solar-powered, carbon-neutral, and all the colours of the rainbow.
Yeah.
Nah, look, I'm going to pass on that. Why are you both wearing black?
It's not black. It's African-American.
Okay, so what are your names then?
We don't have names anymore.
They cause discrimination.
We're just prescribed numbers at birth.
And many people were offended if their number was too high or was bad luck according to their religion.
Yeah, so we all became number one.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
No, that sounds horrible, actually.
She's not used to men disagreeing with her.
Why? What is she going to do? Arrest me?
Well, actually, yes. There's a 20-year jail sentence for disagreeing with a woman. And 30 years if she's a privileged white woman with a blog.
And for both of you, we no longer use the terms he or she. We're all equal.
I beg your forgiveness. Oh, great, number one. I'm not sexist.
So no one has free speech anymore either?
Oh my Buddha, Allah, Vishnu, Tumblr, Google, God, no. Of course we have free speech.
We just have to thank the traditional owners of the oxygen every 5 minutes. Which reminds me, it's 3:05. Oh, great dinosaurs, we send our thanks for this precious air that we so selfishly breathe.
Okay. What? So your god is a dinosaur?
No. We were all gods.
Well, legally, Mark Zuckerberg made himself our god.
Do kids even go to school?
Of course they do.
But only for 3 days of the year. All other days are religious holidays.
And on those 3 days, we are told how beautiful we are.
Yeah. Oh, but if by the age of 16 you're still a straight white male, we will kill you. Brutally.
What sort of perverse leader made all these laws?
We have no leader.
We simply have an equality guidance counsellor.
They are the true number one. But were originally born Mohammed Smith, Chang, Steinberg, Patel, Volkov, Umbele.
They were also 4 years old.
Your leader is... 4 years old?
Yes. And if you have a problem with that, you are an ageist.
And to protect this utopia we live in, ageism results in the death penalty.
Rid yourself of the evils of the past and join us.
Join us.
Become number one with us all.
Join us. I'm not
join
sexist.
Us. Join us. Join us. Join us.
I'm not sexist.
By the way, what's the date?
It's the 18th of January. 2016.
A little bit sarcasm, a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but that's where we are. Excuse me. That's what we're teetering towards. And they laugh and they make fun, again, of, the white male. Brothers, there's something serious going on, right? I mean, this is far more accurate than what we even understand it. But most of us, it was like I was saying to Michael, hey, Michael, before we went on the air, Michael, talk again about being free of guilt and shame, why that's so important for us, Mike. Because hang on a second before Mike jumps in here. That's what they want to do, you understand? They want to guilt trip us and shame us. Shame us for who we are, where we came from, what we're about, what we believe, guilt and shame. And Michael, you said the real power comes when we get free from it. You're muted, Mike. You're muted, or Jared. Michael, I can't hear you. Hang on. There you
okay,
go, buddy.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah,
okay,
we got you.
The whole thing is that when I took myself to the cross, I left all my guilt and shame there. I don't carry it around like a bag of poop on my shoulder. It's gone. And if you live with guilt and shame throughout your life, you are limited from the dynamic of what God has done for you and gives you in life, because guilt and shame have no place in a person who walks in Jesus Christ. He has no place because it's already been taken off our shoulders. But we think too much, and we go back and grab from the past. What isn't it in the scriptures that it says that he takes it and drops it in the farthest piece of the part of the sea, and we're not to go fishing there? But the problem
Amen,
is,
brother.
In our mind, we go fishing there.
Michael, what's so, the devil known as? One of the titles of the devils, he's known as the accuser of the brethren, isn't he?
Yes. And deceiver and see, all those other kinds of terms.
There's something very powerful about shame and something very powerful about guilt. And that's why the enemy loves to throw those things on it. And why I, myself personally now, I tried to boldly run face first with a face of flint into those accusations. Folks, we got to stand up and we got to push back and we got to quit allowing them to tell us what we are allowed to believe and not allowed to believe, what we're allowed to say and not allowed to say. And I'm sorry, Jesus himself was known. Are you listening to me now? Jesus, by his own definition, was known as the rock of offense. Jesus offended people, folks. He offended people. He was the rock of offense. And again, if we are going to be Christ-like, look, I don't want to go around offending people. I don't want to do that. But the truth offends. The truth sounds like hate. And if we love people, we will tell them the truth. You say, well, coach, you have to do it in love. No, truth is love. Listen, I don't care how many times can somebody explain to me, I'm not talking about you, honey. Can somebody explain to me how you can in a nice way tell your wife she's fat? Can somebody tell me a nice way to do that? Hey, tell your wife she's fat in love. How would you do that? And if I tell her that she's fat in love, she's not going to be offended? I say things to my wife all the time, sometimes joking. I got to be careful. She takes offense. I just joked. I didn't mean you. So anytime you speak the truth, there's a chance somebody's going to be offended, okay? Jesus was the rock of offense. Jared, maybe you can find that scripture for us real quickly. I think it's in Matthew. I'm not sure. Just the rock of offense. He said it about himself. Oh, Jared, I got some good stuff. I got to get to it. Jared's looking for the rock of offense. And by the way, go ahead, Mike.
Go ahead. One more thing. If you yep. can't be honest, you can't tell the truth. Because
if you say it again, Mike, if you can't be honest, you can't tell the truth. Is that what you said?
That's what he said.
Okay, you cut out, Michael. There it is, Jared. Where is it? It's 1 Peter 2, verse 1, and it says this. Let's begin. Let's just begin at 1 Peter 2. Let's just start at one here real quickly, because I want you to get the flavor for this. Peter's first. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices accepted by God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which he believe not, the stone which the builders allowed, the same is made the head of the corner, a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which were stumbled at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Stone, a rock of offense. I believe there's another place, Jared, that he calls himself the rock of offense. But that's okay. There it is. Paul's calling Jesus the rock of offense. Now, Jared, do me a real quick favor. Google offense. What does that mean? What does it mean to be offended, the rock of offense? God, we're so soft. We Christians are so mushy soft. Oh, we're so soft. The definition of offense. It says an act of stumbling. A cause of occasion of sin. A stumbling block. An offense is something that outrages the moral or physical senses. His conduct is an offense to public decency. See, we're not offended that women this last Saturday paraded nude at the park in Columbus, Ohio. That doesn't, they get offended, but we're not allowed to be offended, right? See, they get to play by an entirely different set of rules. Offense is the act of attacking or to go on offense. Okay. the offensive team, for the act of displeasing or affronting, the state of being insulted or morally outraged. Isn't that amazing? Morality comes up there a couple times. Five, how about this one? A breach of a moral or social code. An infraction of the law. See, they've changed the law so that now we that speak the truth, we're offensive. We are the rock of offense. Well, boys and girls, it's time to embrace it. Sorry, it's time to embrace it. Hey, Jared, play that video, Embrace the Hate. I made this about 4 years ago. What's the name of it? Embrace the Hate. Hang in there with me. We're going somewhere today. Jared will get it up there. This is one of those News with Views videos. It's about four years old.
Hi, friends. This is Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer at newswithviews.tv, newswithviews.com. I'm exhorting you today, something a little bit unusual, to embrace the hate. I know that sounds kind of strange and probably not something you hear a whole lot about, especially in Christian circles, because, you know, God is love and all that stuff that we hear. And as a guy who spends some time out on the streets and we're ministering to the unsaved on the streets and at abortion clinics and places like that, we often get the moniker laid on us that we are haters. People call us, oh, you're a hater and you're so full of hate. In fact, we have a term that we like to use. We say truth sounds like hate to those who hate the truth. And I came to the realization a few years ago that the last thing I wanted to do was spend all of my time trying to defend my position and try to tell people that, no, I'm not a hater, that I love you and I love you enough to tell the truth. But it just got to the point where the enemy has become so good at labeling us and calling us haters that I've decided the best thing to do is to embrace the hate. First of all, let me tell you something. The Lord does hate. In fact, he tells us in the book of Ecclesiastes that there is a time to hate. And did you know this? That the Lord says that there are some things that he loves. And if you love me, you will love the things that I love and you will hate the things that I hate. He says, Esau I have loved, Jacob I have hated. God hates all workers of iniquity. There are a lot of scriptures out there that if God is balanced with love, he has to have the corresponding balance with hate. But see, we are not talking about hating people and hating individuals. That's not what it's about. So when I get in a debate and I'm out on the street and somebody comes along and maybe we're dealing with an issue of homosexuality or abortion. Let's say we're dealing with abortion and we're trying to get a woman to turn away from going in and killing her baby at the abortion clinic. And someone invariably says to us, you guys are so full of hate. I don't run from that. I've learned to embrace it. And here's what I say. I say, yes, I do hate abortion. I hate what it does to babies. I hate what it does to women. The fact that they have mental problems many times afterwards. They go through anorexia. They go through drug use. All kinds of things. I hate what abortion does to women. I hate what abortion does to relationships. I hate abortion. God hates abortion. Folks, it turns it entirely on its ear. They don't always know how to respond. And the gay argument, when they say, well, you're just a hater. Yes, you're daggone right, I'm a hater. I hate what homosexuality does to people. I hate how it destroys relationships. I hate the fact that homosexuals are some of the greatest purveyors of venereal diseases. I hate what it does to families. I hate what it does to fathers. I hate what it does to marriage. I hate what it does to innocence. I hate homosexuality. See, folks. Not the homosexual, not the abortionist, not the one who's doing it, but the activity. And I think if we're going to try to expand the gospel, if we really want to give people the truth, we have to begin to do what? Embrace the hate. No, hate's a great motivator sometimes. And again, not people. The Lord said, if you love me, you will love the things that I love and you will hate the things that I hate. Well, I'm on the Lord's side. If he hates it, I hate it too. Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer, newswithviews.com.
Okay, listen, I got to make a correction though. Oh, Lord, I'll do it, Lord. I made this about 5 years ago before I guess I began to embrace the hate even more. Listen, God hates people. I said in there he doesn't, but he does. He does. And here's one of the things that we're going to have to use as kind of a dividing line. See, I should never hate somebody for what they did to me. Hate should never be personal. should never be personal. I shouldn't hate somebody because they mistreated me. No. Because I'm dead. I'm a dead man. But should we hate things that God hates? Is it okay to do that? And isn't it funny that the people who do evil things, how do I say this? They're people. See, you say, well, I hate, let's use this expression, I hate abortion. Well, how can you hate abortion and not hate the one who does it? How can you hate pedophilia and not hate the one who does it? You understand? That goes to Romans 1, giving hearty approval to those who do it. You with me? I hear somebody trying to tap in here. Jump in here. Yep. Okay.
Help me through the teaching we've had all our life that says we're to love our enemies.
Well, they're not my enemies. See, I love my enemies. The enemies I don't love are the ones that are the enemies of the cross. Those are the ones that I don't love. In other words, remember when Jesus told the guy, turn the other cheek? Is that Peter got slapped? Whoever got slapped? No, Jesus got slapped. Whatever. And Jesus said, if somebody strikes you on the one cheek, turn and offer him the other. And it had to do only with personal offense. I'm going to tell you something. I'm not going to stand there. Well, they hit my wife once. They better duck. I'll be daggone if I'm going to stand there and let them hit her again. I'm not going to let them hit my grandchild. Not even once. But if they hit them once, you understand what I'm saying? So the idea of loving your enemy and turning the other cheek means don't act on a personal offense. Who's the rock of offense? Jesus is the rock of offense. Why? Because he's speaking truth. And we all get offended easy. Did that help you, Raj? Okay, so let's do this. I got so much good stuff for you today. Some of you probably tuning out already. Can't handle it. Can't handle the truth. Jared, I'm trying. There it is. All right, let's do this. Jared, pull up Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Hey, folks, God's perfectly balanced. Well, even the laws of the natural laws teach us that for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. If someone loves, they have to also hate. It's an emotion. It's emotion. You know, you hear people talking about hate crimes. Hey, Roger, in your business, do you ever see love crimes or what they call crimes of passion? Huh? I bet we see more love crimes than we do hate crimes. I bet we see more women getting beat by their husbands because their husbands love them. They don't hate them. The husband loves his wife and he's jealous and he goes out and he beats on her. That's a love crime. That's not a hate crime. Folks, there are more love crimes. So many people, I'm telling you, have an inability to control their love. Huh? And we're taught in the church, you ain't even allowed to have hate. Y'all know, hate's of the devil. No, is it of the devil? Jared, you at Psalm 139? Come on, boys and girls, let's walk to this together. How many of you want to be Christ-like today? I want to be Christ-like. So David, Psalm 90, 139, Old Testament, still part of the Bible, at least temporarily. Okay, here we go. Oh, Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting, my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compass my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all of my ways. For there's not a word in my tongue, but that, lo, O Lord, you know it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I go down, make my bed in hell, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thou hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. And if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and even the night shall be light about me, yea, the darkness hideth not me from you. But the night shineth as the day, and the darkness and light are both alike to you. See, to God there's no difference in light and dark. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee. When I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being perfect, unperfect. And in the book, all of my memories were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet thou was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they're more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly. And thine enemies, God has enemies, take thy name in vain. Do I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am I not grieved with those that rise up against thee? See, the offense is against God, not against him. I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, know my heart, and try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Perfect hatred, David said. You lead me in perfect hatred. Jared, pull up Proverbs 16. Come on, folks. Come on. Embrace the hate. Embrace it. 16, go to 16:16, Jared. Boy, oh boy. I got more coming. You better sit down. You better sit down. 16:16. No. Where is that? Jared, did I give you the wrong one? Proverbs 16:16. No. There are six things, seven things the Lord hates. No seven are abomination to him. Where is that? I put the wrong one up there. Search that real quick, Jared. Seven things the Lord hates. Thanks, man. I thought it was Proverbs 16:16. 6:16, old coach. 6:16. Wow. Here we go. Lord hates these six things. Does the Lord hate? Yeah. Seven are an abomination to him. He hates a proud look. He hates a lying tongue. He hates hands that shed innocent blood. He hates a heart that deceiveth wicked imaginations. He hates feet that be swift and running to mischief. He hates a false witness that speaketh lies. And he hates he that soweth discord among brothers. Hang on. Remember yesterday or Monday or Friday, I'm sorry, when we were talking about trying to recall exactly what that verse was. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Remember I talked about who? And then they listed things. So tribulation, distress, persecution. Who shall separate us from the love of God? And then we mentioned things, persecution, distress. Well, look here. Hey, folks. Do you really believe God just hates the hands that shed innocent blood? Aren't the hands connected to something? Don't you think God, does God just hate the tongue? That only hates the tongue that lies? Hates a lying tongue? Doesn't hate the person that tells the lies? What is wrong with us? What is wrong with us? Well, okay, we say, Coach, no, that's not right. Jesus has forgiven everybody. Has he really? Okay, well, where did I put that? Hey, Jared, real quickly, let's go to Revelation 20. I'm building a case here. I'm coming back to it. I'm going to double back here. Revelation 20, Jared. This is when Jesus is coming back, okay? Scroll on down quite a bit. I think it's down to about 16, maybe. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Let's start right here at 12. 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were all judged, every man according to his works. And the death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Watch this, Roger. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Hey, folks, they've been lying to us. Hate the sin, love the sinner. Nowhere in the Bible. I'm not sure, but I think that came from Gandhi, I think. And look here at the last word. Stay right there, Jared. I'm sorry. Pulled off that. I wanted to make a point. And whosoever, that's a person, was not found in the book of life, was cast into the lake of fire. Hey, Serge, do they cast the sin or the sinners into the lake? Is it just the sin that gets thrown into the lake of fire, Serge?
Sinner.
It says right there, doesn't it?
The
book of life.
Dave?
Yeah.
Unbelievable that we live in a Christian culture that is so built on this love everything concept. Everything is love. Right. Everybody loves. God loves everybody. It couldn't be more clearer in this verse and other verses that that is a lie, because it is so simple. If God loved everyone, he wouldn't be casting them into the lake of fire. I don't understand it. It's just so simple.
Do you ever find David in the imprecatory Psalms when he's crying out for the Lord to crush his enemies? Do you ever find God responding, oh, David, you shouldn't feel that way? How dare you ask me to do that, David? Remember, David was a man after God's own heart, was he not? He's a man after God's own heart. And he's saying, Lord, come down and kick some tail for me. Come on. You don't ever see the Lord saying, no, David, no. Why didn't David go out and offer the four spiritual laws to Goliath? David ran at Goliath with a sword and a stone. Goliath made fun of him. David said, I come to you in the name of the Lord. In other words, he said, hey, Goliath, what I'm about to do to you, I have the backing of the Lord, because I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord, whom thou hast defied. And this day I am going to feed your flesh to the fowls of the air. That's what it says, man. You can argue with it all you want to. Larry's calling in here. Hang on a second. What's up, Larry?
Hey, Coach. Let me turn the computer down. You know, it's Zechariah 2:17 is where we get this thing about love the hate the sin, love the sinner.
Right.
And it talks about these things are that I hate, saith the Lord. The only problem is there is the word things. The things there,
yeah,
doesn't exist. Doesn't exist in the original documents. That was added by the translators of the King James Version.
You said it's 2:17. You said it's 2:17, Larry.
Yeah, Zechariah
8:17.
Yeah.
So, in other words, when the interpreters, they added the word things. Is that what you're saying, Larry? We have it up in front of us right now on the screen. It says, let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor, and love no false oath. For all these are, see, things, is italicized? That means it wasn't there in the original meaning, right? So it says, for all these that I hate, for all these I hate, and let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor, and love no false oath, for all these I hate. Eight, saith the Lord. Wow. Wow. Little word make a big difference, doesn't it? Say, hey, Larry, you know what I know? Some people are uncomfortable right now. They're uncomfortable that we're even talking about this because they've been indoctrinated. Something else.
Yeah, they're squirming like a frog sitting on my aunt's bed.
That's right, brother. Thanks, Larry. Okay. Hey, Roger, you want some more? You want some more? Hey, boys, you want some more? Okay, I'll give you some more. Anybody got anything to say before I go?
Yeah, Coach, can I say one more thing? The reason why we don't understand the scriptures is because in their mentality of the scriptures, you're a whole being. Your body, mind, and spirit are one. But in our culture and in our way of thinking, we can divide everything up. That's why we got so many laws. We categorize everything and compartmentalize everything. So that way I can lie to you, But in my mind, I think I'm telling you the truth, because my mind can separate all of those things in different compartments, so I can live free hating you, but in reality, I'm not telling you the truth. Does that make sense?
Amen.
I hope
it does. That makes sense, Michael. And we go to the homosexual pride parade, and they tell us that love trumps hate. Love trumps hate. They say love trumps hate. Really? Does it really? What if God hates? See, if God hates, we're in a world of hurt, aren't we, huh? Our theology goes sliding out the window if God hates. See, God hates all workers of iniquity, Psalm 11:3. He doesn't hate the iniquity. He hates the worker. Jared, pull that up. Well, I have it here. Anybody want to say anything? This is stunning, isn't it?
Dave?
Yes.
Dave?
Yes.
I wouldn't mind the love doctrine. I'm okay with the love doctrine. But there's no balance in Christianity today. There is no teaching of the wrath doctrine.
Amen.
There's teaching of what the doctrine that God, you know, there's no balance at all. So you don't get the full gospel. You just get.
That's right.
And that's a big part of the gospel, but that's not it.
Hey, Roger, when back in the Scopes Monkey Trial, you guys probably all remember the Scopes Monkey Trial, which the movie, by the way, was not a clear representation of what happened. It was propaganda, Clarence Darrow and all that. Do you know back in the Scopes Monkey Trial, the debate was about whether or not evolution was going to be introduced into the school? They're trying to introduce, biology teacher was trying to teach evolution. And the people in the community rose up against it. Said, no, firing. Pitchforks and torches. Let's go. No, that ain't going to go on here. Why? Because they understood the scripture says that it would be better for you to put a millstone around your neck and throw you into the deepest part of the ocean than to mislead these little ones. But see, right now, today, in 2017, they're misleading children in our schools, and we don't hate it. I can promise you this, the Lord hates it. I promise you this, the Lord hates those who are indoctrinating little children into sodomizing. I can promise you the Lord hates that. He hates it. Now, a question we need to ask ourselves is, why don't we? If we love the things the Lord loves, we should hate the things that he hates. Why don't we hate that? And does he hate it? And if the Bible says he hates it, if the Bible says that God hates all workers of iniquity, is he lying? Is David lying? Can we not believe the Bible then? Huh? Here it is. Jared pulled it up, or Johnny on the spot. Psalm 11. To the chief musician, Psalm of David, in the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain. For lo, the wicked bend their bow. Isn't that the truth? They make ready their arrows upon the string. David says, if those wicked dudes, man, they're doing it. That they may secretly, privately shoot at the upright in heart. Do you get this picture? Do you get what David's saying? Those wicked ones over there, they're constantly shooting their arrows. Their bows are constantly ready to bring down God's people. And then he says, okay, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? When those arrows start to hit and they start to impact our school system and they start to impact our pulpits, what can the righteous do? Well, I'll tell you this, he says, the Lord's in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. Ooh, the Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Let's go back a minute. Whose soul? The Lord, verse 5, the Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, the Lord's soul hateth. The subject has not changed, the Lord. Upon the wicked, he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. Not just a tempest, a horrible one. That shall be their portion of the cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. So would it be safe to say that God got born again in the New Testament? He don't hate anymore. That what happened, JR? He's now Mr. Love. He's been listening to John Lennon, the Beatles. All you need is love. He's been listening to Rodney King. Why can't we all just get along? Huh? That's the message that's going forth out there. Jared's bringing up Mr. Rogers. Let's see what he's going to play. Jared's got good instincts. Where are you going to play, Jared? Oh, yeah, there's Jesus. Is that what you want to see, Jared? There's Jesus right there. Mr. Rogers, just love everybody. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? Okay, come on. Here we go. Jared, go to the stuff I sent you today. Hey, does anybody want to argue with this? Anybody want to argue with what's this? This is the word. Hey, silver-haired Joe, you want to argue yet, brother? Anybody out there want to argue? Hang on, Joe. I think maybe Jared's got to unmute you.
Oh, it's me.
There you are. I think. There you go. Man, I love that voice. Go ahead, Joe.
How can you argue with truth?
How can you argue with it? Hey, Joe, how can they teach us lies and we not recognize it? That's the greater question. They're lying to us and we don't even recognize it. Well, wait a minute. They're not lying. They're giving us part of the truth.
Part. Correct.
Giving us part of it. Foundation's been destroyed.
I was writing something, and I'll just tell you what it is. The fear of man due to the true absence of faith. You wonder why we don't get active in, say, removing evolution from schools. I've never believed in that. I'm still amazed to this day when I see, when I just look with my eyes and look at an ant. Yeah, that evolved right there, you know. And you see the actual, what's the word I'm looking for? Design of the Lord. You know, I mean, there's no way this stuff just came by chance.
No way, brother. And we let him teach those lies to our kids. Hey, JR, Robert Sellers just texted me. Are you ready? You ready for this one, Raj? You ready for it out there, Vince? Here's what Robert said. Robert said, God loves us so much that he won't let sin in heaven. That's pretty good, isn't it? He loves us so much, he destroyed sin. He ain't letting it into heaven. He don't let sinners in. Beautiful. Beautiful. Hey, Jared, click on my email. It says good, because it is good. I'm going to bring in some other opinions here. Hey, Roger, this is really good, isn't it? Man, this is really good. You're not going to hear this at your church. And it's why we're in the mess that we're in. This guy wrote, I don't even know who it is. Tim Challies. He's a blogger, author. God Hates Wicked People. February 11th, 2017. Over the past few weeks, I've been exploring what God hates, and I've done this by looking to the Bible. God hates, we have seen that God hates idolatry, sexual immorality, injustice, hypocrisy, deceit, pride, and evil thoughts. Today we will wrap up looking at God's hatred for the wicked. God hates wicked people. Psalm 11:5, he puts it bluntly. God hates wicked people. The Lord tests the righteous, but the soul hates the wicked and the one who loves violence. Hey, listen, his soul hates it. The very essence of him hates him. He hates wicked people from his soul, from the very depth of his being. I just said that. He singles out as a special object of his hatred, the blasphemous deeds of the Nicolaitans, those who seduce God's people with idolatry and sexual immorality. He hates the Nicolaitans. Yes, this you have. You hate the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Wow. God clearly hates the false deeds and desires of evil people. But further, in some way, he hates the people themselves. His soul reacts to them with righteous revulsion, and his arm and as his arm extends towards them in holy fury. But who are the wicked? Well, all of us. We're all wicked. See, God's fair. He hates us all. Boy, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all men have sinned. He hated us all. Why does God hate wicked people? Well, why does God harbor such hatred towards wicked people? God hates the wicked because their wickedness is the first mark of the deepest rebellion against him and his rule. God created humanity to be perfect and sinless, to live in joyful submission to him, to offer him pure worship. But humanity rebelled, and their disloyalty is displayed in acting contrary to God. God hates those who express their hatred toward him. God also hates the wicked because their wickedness is expressed in ways that harm the people who have been created in his image. Don't ever misunderstand that. God hates people who destroy innocent people. There's no getting around it, boys and girls. Why the death penalty? Man, oh man, oh man. God, where am I? God also hates to spread and hurt people. Because sinful people cannot storm the gates of heaven to dethrone and destroy God himself. They turn on what is dearest to God and nearest to his image. And they act out their wickedness against other people. They hurt people, harm people. Main theme, kill them. Finally, God hates the wicked because their wickedness is expressed particularly against God's elect. Wicked people turn their fury against God's people, mocking them, persecuting them, putting them to death. It's good, isn't it? God's judgment on wicked people. God must judge the wicked for their rebellion. He must judge them for their evil thoughts, their evil deeds, and their evil desires, and he will. By the way, that used to be me. I used to be one of those wicked guys. Anybody on the queue, was that you ever at one point? He hated you. Make no mistake about it. With a perfect hatred, he hated you. You see, God is a righteous judge and a God who feels indignation every day. If a man does not repent, God will whet his sword. He has bent and readied his bow. He has prepared for him his deadly weapons, making his arrows fiery shafts. Behold, the wicked man conceives evil and is pregnant with mischief and gives birth to lies. He makes a pit, digging it out, and falls into the hole that he has made. His mischief returns upon his own head, and on his own skull, his violence descends. That's Psalm 7, 11 through 16. Is that amazing? See, God doesn't just hate. I'm going to tell you this. He just doesn't hate the atheist. He hates those of us who allow atheists to teach lies to our children. He hates them. He said, "Let the little children, suffer the children to come unto me, for that such are the kingdom of God, the innocence and purity of a little child." And the devil and his team are constantly trying to rip the innocence out of the heart of those little kids. And it's going on with our approval. And we're warned all throughout the scripture, if you let that continue, you're in sin. JR, am I missing something here? Am I missing something here? We're supposed to love these wicked people. Supposed to love the pedophiles. Supposed to love the people, the teachers in public schools that are teaching our kids homosex is normal. We're supposed to love that?
No way.
No way! What is wrong with us? Give him a chance to repent. Go find another job, dude. He ain't doing that to our kids, dude. But there's hope for wicked people. Yes, there is hope for the wicked, which is to say there's hope for all of us. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation of all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification of life for all men. For as by one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. That's Romans 5. You see, we'll all face judgment. We'll all approach that judgment with a long record of wicked thoughts and wicked deeds. Yet some will be welcomed by God into his everlasting kingdom. This will not be on the basis of any righteousness that we've earned, but only on the basis of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. There's hope for the wicked people if only they will turn to Christ in repentance and faith. Remember, God doesn't love everybody, but his love is available to everybody. So here's some key verses. If you'd like to gauge in further study, God hates the workers of iniquity, Psalm 5:5. God hates the wicked, Psalm 11:5. God hates the sacrifices of the wicked, Proverbs 15:8. God hates the way of the wicked, Proverbs 15:9. God hates the thoughts of the wicked, Proverbs 15:26. God hates feet that make haste to run to evil. Wow, Proverbs 6:18. God hated Esau. God hates the deeds of the Nicolaitans. I'm about out of time. I'm just getting started. Let me summarize it here. I have the nature of Christ in me. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Christ lives in me. The life that I live by the grace of the Son of God who died and gave himself for me. I know that the scripture tells me that I'm to be angry and sin not. Didn't say don't be angry. It says be angry and sin not. Well, we're all going to have to decide whether the anger you have inside you, whether the hatred you have inside you, is that personal, ungodly, fleshly hatred? Or is it righteous anger and righteous hatred? Is it okay, church, for us to hate the things that God hates? Is it okay? And it's, sadly, I hate to tell you this, God doesn't just hate things and behaviors. He hates those who do it. Do you understand that? He hates those who do it. And anybody who's telling you something else is giving you a different gospel. They're not giving it to you on purpose. They've been programmed just like us. Robert says God hates the wicked because they are a cancer. It always infects the whole nation if it's not destroyed. Somebody bail me out. Boy, there'll be a big spread on right-wing watch tomorrow. I hate liars. I don't just hate lies. I hate liars. I hate those who have hands that shed innocent blood. I don't just hate their hands. I hate them with a perfect hatred, with a righteous hatred, a God-ordained hatred. Go ahead. You won't hear this from your pulpit, will you?
We should, but you know why we don't hear it? Because of the John Amendment.
partially, Vince. I think the main reason we don't hear it's big, the C word, cowardice.
Exactly.
Cowardice. Hey, throw me in a slammer. I ain't gonna shut my mouth. I ain't going to shut my mouth to make you feel good. I'm going to do it. See,
that sermon doesn't sell tickets.
Doesn't sell tickets. Doesn't bring people back, right? Doesn't bring people back. That's why broad is the way and narrow. That's why it's many and few. Because, see, they've convinced us God's all love. Accept everybody. Tolerate everybody. Open hearts. Open doors. Open minds. Everybody come and be part of the king. And it's exactly the opposite of what the scriptures teach. The scriptures teach just the opposite. Oh my goodness. Hey, prove me wrong. Say, we love you, coach. Somebody out there said, love you, coach.
We love you, coach.
I'm still with you, coach. Thanks, Vince. Thanks. Because this is a tough pill to swallow, but I'm going to tell you something. We better bone up here, boys. We better get boned up. And we better start loving the things that the Lord loves. And we better start hating the things that the Lord hates. And I cannot get away from this. When Jesus, at the end of the time, when he closes this whole thing down, what does he throw into the lake of fire? The sin or the sinner? Woo-wee. Gotta love, gotta hate with that perfect hatred. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.
You got it.